lift your hands toward heaven one more time and talk to the Father.
He alone is worthy of our praise. Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise. Kadosh, Kadosh,
opportunity again tonight to receive. Thank you for the mighty things you've been doing from the very start. Again tonight we open our spirits and our hearts to receive that which you have for us. And Lord, we ask that you do your will in absolute and perpetual sense even tonight. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I saw the theme of the conference, I was elated in my spirit for two reasons. Number one, if there is a time for dominion, it's now. The things we are going through as a body of Christ and as a nation requires that every one of us understand the system of dominion and master it. Because that is the only means by which we will live the victorious life that is in Christ Jesus. And for God's servant to also narrow it and give it more punch and power by giving us a specific channel for engendering dominion, which is light, it means he's deliberate about what he wants. And so I believe that at the end of this meeting, nobody will walk in confusion. You will know exactly what to do to have the results you want, and not just that, you will know how to replicate it. When you have a result, it can be a fluke, but when you really begin to replicate it, then it becomes dominion. And what God will achieve in this conference is to bring you to a point where you don't just know how to get something, but you have the capacity to replicate it, so that your life will become a system of blessing to a generation. And listen to me, you don't have to be old to walk in dominion. That's why the theme of the conference is not dominion by age. There's no such thing as dominion by age. So if you apprehend light, your life can change from whatever age you are, whatever gender you have, and whatever race you belong to. One of my greatest burdens is to see people make impact and make impact early. Because when I studied the scripture, I saw people who made not just global impact, but transgenerational impact at a very, very early age. Very, very early age. David was one of them. And you see that when it is done that way, there is more excellence. Because God indeed will take the glory. There are certain things you do at a certain age, your result can be attributed to your experience. There are certain things you do in certain locations, your results can be attributed to the advantages of that location. But where you are in a place that is seemingly the wrong location, and you don't possess the advantage of age, and you begin to command certain results, people will know that there is an invisible force behind you. And so we want to see people from their campuses begin to invent things that attract the attention of their generation. There's no law that says you cannot be a millionaire on campus. And I'm not just saying millionaire in Naira, but millionaire in dollars. There's no law that says you cannot trigger a revival from your campus. There's no law that says you cannot affect the government of the land where you belong to while you are yet a teenager. No law negates it. The reason our manifestation oftentimes is delayed is largely because of our lack of access to light. And so it's important that you make up your mind to truly, truly receive light in the course of this meeting and to walk with it, because something is about to begin in your life that will shock you, and you will marvel at the excellency of the glory of God that your life will command from the days to come, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so there are four things I will be talking about tonight. The first thing is to establish to you that there are two parallel governments on the face of the earth. The second thing I will establish is to define each of these governments so that you understand not just that they are present, but you also understand their modus operandi. Number three, I will delve a bit into light and show you how light works. And then number four, I will also show you how to utilize the resources of light that you would have received even at the end of this conference. By the time I'm done with that, we can just pray and go into practicals. You have received too much impartation already. I saw some of the clips in the morning and people were all over the place. I said, thank you, Father. You have done the work of impartation. Now I will come and instruct them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, people think men of God always want to manifest. If you ask me, I will tell Dr. Akin that since the two ministers have hit the zenith of the spirit, let the conference stop now. Let's go and start retreating and manifesting. Glory to Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 10. If we can project the scripture so that you read them, it will bless you a great deal. Because sometimes when we start talking by inspiration, it looks like we are philosophers. It said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have life to the full. There are three things you find in this scripture. Number one is the presence of two different entities. Number two is what the entities represent. And number three, the impact of the presence of these two individual entities. He spoke about the thief and he spoke about himself. And so we are talking about a demonic entity, or the devil as it were. And then we are talking about God manifested in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. So when we are talking about the government that walk on the face of the earth, you need to understand that they represent the interest of two beings. And if you study in this scripture, you will notice there's no middle ground. It's either you are on the side of the government of the thief, or you are on the side of the government of the Christ. The problem many people have is that they assume there's a middle ground. And so they want to enjoy life for a while before they choose. The thing is, if you don't choose, you'll be chosen. That's the challenge when they don't understand. So it is wisdom for you to choose, and to choose fast, so that you can make the most of the resources available on the side that you have chosen. There is the side of the thief or the devil, and there's the side of the master or the Christ. Number two, they spoke about the representation of the government. One is death. The other is life. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill. So there is death as a central reference of that government. And that's why when it comes to the side of the master, he spoke about life. So you find death operating on one side, and then you find life on another side. And so in this kingdom, the products of your life are products of either death or life. If there is no death, then there is life. And if there is no life, of necessity, there must be death. Everything you see manifesting in our lives today is either born from the crucible of death, or it is born from the crucible of life. And then you go further to see the impact or the product of death is destruction. And that destruction is what we also call darkness. So when death is at work, there is destruction. And the operation of destruction is to steal from you that which is your heritage, that which should be your possibility, that which should be your outcome, can be stolen from you because death is at work. And then when you see the operation of light, as you extend to other scriptures, like John chapter 1 verse 4, you will discover that life produces light. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so you have the thief, from whence cometh death, and then you have death producing destruction and darkness. And then you have the master, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is life, and then you find life producing light. These are two parallel governments on the face of the earth. And every individual walking this realm today is walking either in darkness or is walking in light. There are no middle grounds. And I need to explain to you the texture of darkness before I talk about light, so that you can appreciate light a bit more. From this scripture, you can establish, therefore, that darkness is a person. Darkness is not just a shadow cast over a location. Darkness is a person. And that person is the devil, and his operation is death. Also, darkness is a system, because he's not just talking about an individual existing in isolation. It's an individual that superimposes his influence over a context, enslaving that context by stealing from them. So darkness is not just a being. Darkness is also a system. And when you study your Bible carefully, you are going to understand that this thing called darkness, it doesn't just operate randomly without intelligence. There's a lot of intelligence with darkness. This is why you cannot just say, I'm a Christian, it's over. This is why you need to have an accurate understanding of the operations of light. I can tell you, there are many people who are in Christ, but bastardized by the powers of darkness, because they take darkness for granted. They don't understand that darkness is an organized structure powered by a very definite intelligence for killing and for destruction. You need to know this so that you can prepare. Paul said, you should not be ignorant of the devices of the devil, because if you do, that will be your peril. Darkness is a being. Darkness is a system. And when you study the system and the structure of darkness, the first thing you will discover in that structure is that there are ranks amongst those beings. They are not all the same. They know the authority and the influence each of them can exert. And so they are structured into a well-defined rank or ranking system in the spirit. And then you also discover that there are operational modalities for each of these beings situated at definite ranks. When you look at darkness, talking about the ranking, you will discover that there are darkness that affect only individuals. That is the scope of their operation, depending on the authority they can wield. And so all of their operation is restricted to individuals. And if they cannot find individuals, they will not have any other context of operation, because they don't have the authority and the jurisdiction to function beyond individual level. And so in Matthew chapter 12 verse 43 to 44, Jesus speaking, he said, when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, he doesn't have any other place to exercise government, because his rank necessitates that he deals only with individuals. He said he goes about in dry places, because if he attempts to do anything beyond jurisdiction, there will be no productivity. To show you the intelligence of darkness. And so he said, when this spirit moves about in dry places and it doesn't find any other place, individual as it were, to possess, it will return back to where it came from. Because by all means, it needs a context to exercise dominion. And if it comes there and that person is just happy that now I'm a Christian, now I'm in Christ, but it's not fortified with spiritual intelligence. He said that darkness will not just come. He will go back and look for his colleagues that operate at the same level, even more wicked than he is. And he said they will come, seven of them. And he said, worse will be the state of that man. I'm showing you the intelligence of darkness. They understand ranking in the spirit. Darkness. Do not be ignorant. See, too many Christians are ignorant. This is why we need light. Before I go into telling you about the excellency of light, I need to let you know what light destroys, so that you can appreciate light and you will walk in light. Individuals are besieged by the power of darkness. Then number two, you see that darkness operates over territories. So there are darkness that their jurisdictions is individual. There are other darknesses that their jurisdiction is territories. Daniel chapter 10, from verse 20 to 21, the Bible speaking. When Daniel went to pray, suddenly said the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him, from the first day you knelt down, that's from verse 12, he said, your answer went to heaven. And I was commissioned to bring that answer. He said, but the prince of Persia. So what you call territories are actually names allocated to princes in the spirit. If you study Isaiah 19, you discover that Egypt is not a place. You discover that Egypt is a spirit. There's such a being called the spirit of Egypt. And so when you come into Egypt and you see the operations in Egypt, it's a character of a spirit. If you come into Babylon and you see the operations of Babylon, it's a character of a spirit. So when you enter Babylon, you may not be poor. You may be rich, but you will be perverse. So you can be rich with fornication. You can be rich with any other form of perversion. Maybe you are growing rich. You now discover you are a man, but you are loving a man. That is what Babylon does. So his problem is not poverty. There's another spirit called Egypt that will make you poor. But so long as you are in Babylon, be as wealthy as you are. That's why when Christians are talking, sometimes they are saying, how come the richest men in the world are not from church? Because they think darkness is only poverty. It's a type of darkness, but there are many other things. Go and meet these rich men. See the kind of life they are living. Some of them sleep with 20 women in 1 week. So the soul is porous with immorality. And so long as they live in immorality, they have inspiration for wealth, because Babylon is at work. So they are not blessed holistically. That's why I said it is the blessings of God that make it rich and addeth no sorrow. That's when you come into light. God makes men rich. The devil also makes men rich. The difference in the riches of God and the devil is that when it is God, no sorrow is added. So when you find a wealthy man walking in sorrow, know that there's a texture of darkness there. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
Darkness is territorial. It's when I return from you, I will go back and join my care and make war with the prince of Persia. And he said, when we defeat the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia will come. I wish I had time to delve into history. You would have seen that most of the empires in the world that came in succession were defined in the context of princes in the Bible. And so there are darkness or princes that have the rank to take territories. When you find yourself in Unilag, be careful. There are certain things that happen within this atmospheric space. It may not happen at home. That's why you may be home, you'll be prayerful. You may be home, you'll be burning with purity. But the moment you come into campus, your soul will become lonely. And you start looking for a boy to approach you. You have come under the influence of darkness. And let me tell you something. The advice of your mother can't keep you pure. Because what we are talking about here is beyond what is reasonable. We are talking about
Elohim, Elohim Adonai.
Some people were in Nigeria doing well. They now heard of the Jakpa syndrome. They went to the UK and for 4 years they have not prayed for 10 minutes. And so somebody who was a pastor in Africa went to London and suddenly became a seller of stockfish. Because he could contend with the darkness here. He now went and saw a refined type of darkness that put the love for pound sterlings in his heart. And he didn't realize it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong traveling. But let it be by divine direction. Let it be by divine direction. Because there are territorial darknesses. And when God tells you to go to a place, maybe during your formative state, you can contend with that space. If you move without God, you'll be shocked. The next time you remember there is God, you may be 80 years old. Maybe 88 years. They are territorial princes. And that's not all. Then there are darknesses or ranking princes that subjugates a generation. They are called the spirit of the age. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it said one of the reasons Jesus died is to deliver us from the evil, the spirit that regulates this world. If you check it, that word there is aeon. Aeon is age. So you can come to a dispensation like our dispensation of knowledge now, and you see a lot of arrogance and pride. It's the darkness of the age. Somebody can be on fire, burning with holiness, but he has arrogance in his spirit and no regard for authority. Meanwhile, he doesn't know it's a texture of darkness. If you ask him about his walk with God, he will present his purity. And he may score 100 over 100 in purity. He will present his prayer. He will score 100 over 100. But he can't fulfill the weight of the mandate of God on his life because the spirit of the age is attacking brokenness and humility. And so you may have all the purity, but you cannot represent the full texture of witness in the courts of Zion. Because there are darknesses. So when we are talking about dominion by light, it's important for you to understand the darknesses that affect individuals. To understand the darknesses that affect territories. And understand the darknesses that affect aeons and generations. I'm not trying to exhort the devil. I'm just showing you realities in the spirit. So that him that standeth will be careful lest he falls. And so that's ranking in the demonic realm. And apart from that, you now have operational modalities. They are different. See, not every demon is doing everything. Not every prince is doing everything. There are demons that their operational modality is to plant ignorance in people. Ignorance. And so they know that if you apprehend truth and light, you will become a weapon in the hand of God. And so their job is to create 1,001 distraction around you so that you cannot focus on learning the things that will bring light to you. And although you are not walking in sin, but you can't focus to study. Meanwhile, you need to study to show yourself approved. And the day you make your mind to study, the garment of heaviness comes upon you. You become so lazy. You can watch a movie for 14 hours. But you cannot sit down to hear a message for 30 minutes. And you think you are tired. No, you are not tired. Darkness is at work. If you know what that means, when the devil tries to impact you with laziness, you will wake up and say, get behind me, Satan. In the name of Jesus, I mantle with strength to pursue after truth because my destiny requires it. See, you need to fight this thing. Some people don't know. Fight ignorance the same way you fight defilement. Because ignorance is a type of darkness. When a man falls to fornication, he goes on a retreat. For 7 days, he's crying. He doesn't know that ignorance is as weighty in the spirit as defilement. And so you'll find somebody at 45, he knows nothing about his destiny. Because there's an operation of darkness at work. He can come to church for 30 years, but he has not labored to apprehend light. Meanwhile, this thing was available before he was born. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet. How come you are 45? You have not known that you were born a prophet. How come you are 45? You have not understood the codes that power the prophetic ministry. How come you are 45? No weapon of the prophetic has manifested in your life. Not because you are fornicating. But there is a darkness built around you as a siege. And you don't know that it's an operation of darkness. So you are not fighting it with your power. Operations of darkness. Some people with sickness, they are just weak and sick. Sometimes you go to the hospital, they can't find nothing. is darkness at work. If it cannot blind you, it will afflict your body. Hear this. Fight ignorance with the same propensity with which you fight sickness. And fight sickness with the same propensity with which you fight sin. That's why the price that was paid for sin was the same price that was paid for poverty. Because God knows that all of them is darkness. So there are many people, the reason they can't fulfill destiny is sickness. This week they have migraine headache. Next week they have heart pain. Another week they have burns in their stomach. Another week their legs are heavy. And they don't know what's going on until they now assume that they are mediocres. And darkness traps them. And then you have certain darknesses that their job is defilement. There's no week that he can't survive without pornography. There's no week that he cannot survive without immorality. And in his ignorance, he thinks he's enjoying life. He doesn't know that he's selling off his destiny. Darkness at work. Operational modalities. From blindness and ignorance to sickness and disease to iniquity and sin, and then ultimately to rebellion. A state of godlessness where a man tells himself, I don't see the need for God anymore. If he exists, that may be true. I don't think he does. But if he does, that's fine. I don't need him. And you'll be afraid for him, but he doesn't care. The only time he will discover is when he steps into eternity. He will now discover that everything happening in the realm were manipulated. See, this is why the darkness in the Western world is worse than the one in Africa. In Africa, there may be corruption and poverty, but at least there's a consciousness of God. When you go to the Western world, the kind of darkness there does not affect wealth system necessarily. But it's a darkness that blinds men from the existence of God. Absolute godlessness. And if God does not trigger a revival in the West, the great falling away, we have a large percentage there. Because they have no need for God in their society. And those who have no understanding, they think darkness is only in Africa. The one there is worse. I was preaching in Swansea last week and I told them, your own darkness is modified. You may be born for 60 years, walking on earth for 60 years, you don't know there's anything like God. You will discover there's God in heaven. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. If this truth stopped here, there would have been fear. There would have been a challenge. But the beauty is that the truth does not stop here. That's where the dominion of light comes in. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of man. And the light shined in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Somebody shout! It doesn't matter the rank of darkness. It doesn't matter the oppression of darkness. In Him was life. The life was the light of man. The light shined in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Elohim Adonai. Time to ascend. My God. Hey! I'm charging my spirit. He said, thou shalt know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Thou shalt know the truth. There is victory in Christ. Do you see the beauty of that scripture? It means there's no battle between light and darkness. Darkness already knows his mate. So the battle is in the soul of man. What to choose. The moment you choose light, you have won. Because it didn't say there is contention between light and darkness. He said the light shines in the darkness. And he said the darkness does not have the technology to comprehend the light. That means the darkness is not just not able to fight. He doesn't know how to begin to fight light. He doesn't know how. The moment light shows up, darkness concedes defeat. Even before you come to the arena, the defeat is so rapid that you don't have enough time to measure it. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. Now, because darkness has rank, it's also important to understand the rank of light. My goodness. And because darkness has operational modalities, it's also important to understand the operational modality of light so that you can walk in dominion. Let me show you the rank of light. I've quoted one already. John 1 verse 4. The light shines in the darkness. In him was light. The light was the light of men. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. What it reveals to us here, that light is superior to darkness, and darkness understands it. So the first rank of light is that darkness already understands and concedes defeat when it has to do with light. The darkness comprehends it not. It's a concluded reality in the spirit. I'm saying this so that you appreciate light and you will cleave on to light with audacity. Because many have light, but they are not sure of the power and the excellency of light. Number two, to understand the rank of light, you need to check the two personalities that embody their realities, which is Christ and the devil. There's no basis of comparison. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So the second thing you see is that light is creator. Darkness can create nothing. At best, it can destroy. And you know what? The excellency of light is that whatever darkness destroys, light can create again. That's the mystery of the resurrection. He said, whoever is in me will not die. John 11:25. And he said, even if he were dead, he will live again. So light has so much authority in that it creates, darkness cannot create. And if darkness destroys what light creates, light still has the potential to recreate. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God showed up again. Light be. The moment light came, recreation began again. So it makes darkness helpless in the face of battle. If I don't do anything, he can create. And if I destroy, he can recreate. And if I destroy, he can recreate. And he doesn't just recreate. He recreates in such a way that you forget about the destruction that ever happened. That's why somebody missed one season and the devil stole 1 year. God came back and bring restoration equivalent to 10 years. You are now wondering, why did I go there in the first place? Because I stole 1 year from him. Because I stole 1 year, 10 years have been gifted him. So it would have been better I didn't destroy in the first place. He said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So every time the devil destroys, it provokes greater propensity of creation. Making the work of the devil futile. Making the work of darkness futile. Listen, those of you hearing me here, it doesn't matter what you have lost. You will receive tenfold before you leave here. Tenfold before you leave here. Can I show you the top superiority of darkness? Is the authority seat. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 19, 20, and 21. Because each of them have thrones. But the thrones are situated differently. He said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Go to the next verse. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And I need to show you what happened when he raised him from the dead before we come back here. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 14 and 15. I want to show you something. So you understand that what is happening here is not something that was just stated. It was something that was protocoled through a spiritual activity. It said, blotting out every handwriting of ordinance that was written against us, which was contrary to us, and took it away by nailing it on the cross. And he said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them. So he didn't just destroy them in hiding. He destroyed them. You know, this word public show is, if you understand the history of war in the Roman Empire, that you will know what this means. In the Roman Empire, when they go to war and they conquer a nation, what happens is that the captain of the other side, the king of the other side, because the Romans don't necessarily bring the whole nation. What the Romans do is that when they conquer you, they send an ecclesia to take over your territory. But what they do to your king is that your king will be paraded. So the king of the Roman will return in a victory parade, and the whole city will clap and welcome him. Then he will sit in the middle of the city, and then they will parade the defeated king naked, and he will show up with all his weapons, and he will drop the weapon willingly and surrender for anything the winning king wants to do, to do to him. If he wants, he will enslave him for a lifetime. If he wants, he will behead him. If he wants, he will do whatever he wants, and he will not struggle again, because he has done everything he needs to do on the battlefield, and all his strategies have failed. So now he has submitted in loyalty to the authority of the winning king. So when he said he made a public show of them, it means Satan, principalities, powers, dominion were paraded. And when they were paraded, they surrendered to the master. Hey! Mama Raketoria Bagata. Manda Prato Setebira. This is the rank of fight. They were paraded, and they conceded defeat. And God didn't stop there. Something needed to happen. The throne needs to be set. So he said in Ephesians 1:19, after the defeat took place, he said, according to the working of his mighty power. So he demonstrated his victory, and he didn't stop there. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Remember, Ephesians 6:10 to 13 said demonic spirits are also in heavenly places. But heavenly places have levels. There's the second heaven, but there's the third heaven. These things are in levels. And so in verse 20, hear what it says. Ephesians 1. I'm showing you this because there's a basis for our faith. We are not just mindless people running around psyched and just shouting because we are religious by God. No, there's a basis for what we do. Go to verse 20. Verse 21. He said, this throne is far above all, not some, all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. So any being that has a name, whatever he is, he has gone beneath that throne. If this was all, this would have been good enough, because we know that God has covered us. He's got our back. But he didn't want to just be intervening in our lives. And so in chapter 2, verse 6, you know, if this is all, anytime you are in problem, in trouble, you say, Lord, help, God will intervene from there. But that would be too much work. The way God creates is that he creates a system that works. So he's not willing to be intervening every time. He wants you to become his system of intervention. So what did he do? He said, and had raised us up together and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So God is not just intervening. God has raised me with him. So he has converted me to a system of intervention. I am a system of divine intervention. That's why when we come, he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They shall kick out demons. Makara Tatakaya, you are a system of divine intervention. God is not just intervening. You have become a system.
Are you following? Can I show you more scriptures? Hear this. God is not just intervening in your life. He has made you a system of intervention. Because where he is in dominion, that's where he has brought you. Look at the way the Bible puts it. John 8:12. Jesus said, so long as I am in the world. He said, I am the light of the world. So long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If that was all, that would have been good. But in John 5:13-14, he said, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. You are the light of the world. A city set. Why is that so? Because where he is where you are. Where he's seated is where you are seated. So you have become a system of light. I'm showing you the excellency of light and the partaking role that you have been brought into, so that you can learn to exercise dominion. This is why it doesn't matter what the devil is doing. If it brings ignorance, you counter it. If it brings sickness, you counter it. If it brings poverty, you counter it. Because now God is not just intervening. You are God's system of intervention. He said, you are my battle axe, my weapon of war. My weapon of war. My weapon of war. Please sit down for a moment. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. So darkness has no stand with light. Light is superior to darkness. But light is not just superior to darkness. You have been made light. That means you are superior to them in rank. And you are superior to all their operations. In the light of this, there are three things you have become. I'm listing this because when I show you how to walk in the dominion of light, you will see that the first thing is consciousness. But if you don't have understanding, you will not know what to be conscious of. You would think this thing is just joining people and talk like them. We are not people talking some form of cliche. There's a spiritual reality that backs our belief system, our confession, and our action. Because you have become light, number one, you have absolute victory over darkness. Because the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. The devil can't comprehend you. If you know who you are. That's why it says whoever is born of God has overcome the world. Why has he overcome the world? Because as the wind bloweth, thou listest not from whence it cometh or whence it goeth. So are they that are born by the Spirit of God. The devil can't understand you. You are operating now by a superior system. The light shines in the darkness. So the dominion of light speaks of absolute victory for the believer. See, when an apostle, a prophet comes to you, the advantage is to equip you. Believe me, you don't need an apostle to take over your world. You are the light of the world. Our duty is not to be around every time. When you have headache, you say, apostle, sir. When there is a challenge, you say, apostle, sir. That's a limitation. Our duty is to show you who you are. You are the ones to manifest. When you call us, tell us, the devil came on my jaw. I entered the spirit. I downloaded a pattern and I countered him. You say, yes, you know what to do. Because I'm supposed to teach you how to enter the spirit. You are supposed to destroy the works of the devil. You are the light. The system where people who are born of God, who should be light, are still roped to one man for every step they take is witchcraft. It's not victory. When you have absolute victory, you function by the principles of light. Yourself, we know what to do. So when you show up with testimonies. That was how Jesus did it. That was how the apostles did it. The Bible said, Jesus sent them out, 70 of them. And when they returned,
They didn't call him, "Master, we are in Ephesus, please help." No. They returned to him singing and said, "Even the devils were subject to us in thy name." And Jesus was not surprised. And the apostles showed up, ushers that they trained. They say Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. When he called Peter, he called Peter to come and see the manifestations of God. See, we have been struggling. Why do you think we are struggling with the supernatural? We have violated the principles of light. Men have been made free. We want to keep them in captivity. In the name of honor, in the name of respect. And that's why they cannot manifest their potentials in God. Everyone who is born of God has become a light. People must come into that consciousness and live by it, so that they don't draw their strength from the flesh, but they now draw their strength from the spirit. My power is in my association with Jesus. My power is in the walking of the light of God that is in my spirit. And so because of that, nobody among us is superior to the other. Nobody is more special than the other, because every one of us have become custodians of light, manifesting different flavors. Darkness has been overcome, and you have become the light, and so you have absolute victory. Listen, when you go into your campus from Monday, shine, 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 shine. The light shines in the darkness. The second thing light did for you is that it elevated you. He said you are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the first dimension of capacity increase that you receive. That's why in Matthew 5, 13 and 14, I mean John 5, 13, 14, he said, "You are the light of the world, a city set upon." You are the reference for your generation. You are the head and the head only. You are the top and at the top only. The part of a justified man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. See, some people call some of us and tell us, this is your season. We thank God for you. I say, what do you mean by my season? My today is better than my yesterday. My tomorrow will be better than my today. My next tomorrow will be better than my tomorrow. What do you mean by my season? I go from glory to glory. I go from strength to strength. So long as I breathe, my tomorrow will be better than my today. We are not about to rise and fall. We are established as a city upon the hill. Imagine how God sees you. That means you are not an individual. It's an error to be identified as an individual. You are a city. Do you know what happens in a city? There are hospitals in a city. That's why you are a cure to the disease of your generation. There are electricity systems in a city. That's why you are a light to your generation. Do you know what a city is? There are economic systems in a city. That's why you cannot lack. I am a city set upon the hill. Makarote, Makarada, Parila, Tavet, Ero, Parisa, Bakatona. Listen, why do you think when you receive Christ, he gives you his mind? Because every city has an economic system. That's why you know the strategies to implement. You know the decisions to take. Because every city needs an economic system. And it takes intelligence to establish one. He said, we have not received the spirit that is of this world. We have received the spirit that is of God. So we know the things that are freely given to us by God. He said, which things we speak, not with words that human wisdom teaches. He said, but with words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He said, but we have the mind of Christ, so we judge all things. We have the mind of Christ. He said, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He said, but we have the mind of Christ. You are not in darkness, you are in light. And if you are in light, you are a city. And if you are a city, there is a system of intelligence working on your inside. If you are a city, there is a system of power and dominion working on your inside. That's what light has made you. This is why it's a crime to think small. Because the lead city the least city is at least 50 miles by 50 miles. That's the least city. That's what light came to make you. That's what light came to make you. And finally, light is a system of dominion. So you have become a force in your generation. That's why I told you, you don't have to be big. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You don't have to be white. All of those things are nonsense, picked from the gutters of the world system. You can be a black man and rule over anybody of any skin color. It has nothing to do with skin color.
Yes, sir.
You can be a lady and dominate your generation. It has nothing to do with gender.
Yes, sir.
You can be young or old and dominate your generation. Some people encountered God in their 40s, but they shook their generation. Others encountered God in their teenage age and shook their generation. He has no regard for age.
Yes, sir.
It's a system of dominion. Arise, shine. Thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It said the Gentiles shall come to thy light. If they stop there, it's okay. But it didn't stop there. He said kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. That means the scepter you carry is superior to the scepter of the world system. I prophesy over someone. Step into supernatural dominion. Elohim Adonai. Rounding up, let me show you quickly how to exercise the dominion of light. Number one is through consciousness. In Colossians chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, he said, if we are risen with Christ, if we know that we are risen with Christ, Colossians 3 verse 1 to 3, help, put those scriptures, see this thing so you know I'm not just hiking you. These are scriptures. Heaven and earth will pass away. Not one jot or tittle will pass away. I don't have time to start talking to you about the wisdom of Christ. I don't have time to start talking to you about the power of Christ. There's no time. So I'm just showing you how to enter. When you enter, you will discover for yourself. I have stood in places where I don't qualify to stand. I know my natural credentials can't take me there. And trust me, I'm not an illiterate. I'm a PhD holder. So I'm not excusing the place of study and hard work. But I'm telling you, I've stood in places where my natural credentials did not qualify me. But in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I step into a wisdom that is ancient. And when you start talking, the young and the old, the wise and the prudent, they all marvel at the dexterity of the intelligence and the depth. He said, don't bother what you should say. At that time, open your mouth. I will fill it with what? You connect to a frequency. I'm talking about the ancient wisdom of the immortals. The very wisdom that sculpted the foundation of the world. If that wisdom dwells in you, which physics can you fail? Which chemistry can you fail? Which philosophy can you fail? When you read, you know better than your teachers. You understand better than your instructors. Who told you that failure is in you? But it's a consciousness. I know what I carry. I know who I am. There's an ancient spirit dwelling on my inside. I am the embassy of God. It's a Christ in you, the hope of glory. God talks through me. God thinks through me. God acts through me. And I know. And it is my knowing that makes God perform in me. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power. If you don't have the right consciousness, you will study and fail. If you don't have the right consciousness, you will prepare and fail. Because you will think you can be overcome.
But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For whoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I know it. This is my daily cogitation. I chew it every day. It comes out and enters. This is what I think. This is what I know. This is what I breathe. And this is what I live. You see, our generation, the devil brings systems, external systems, to manipulate people. So somebody thinks because he has an iPhone, his life has upgraded. iPhone can't upgrade me. iPhone is too short a lifespan to upgrade me. Is it the iPhone that they upgrade every year that will upgrade me? Somebody buys a car, he thinks a Mercedes V-boot can upgrade him. Nobody is driving a V-boot anymore. Somebody wears a suit, he thinks the suit can upgrade him. And people are running the rat race. If they don't make their hair, they want to die. Make your hair and look beautiful. Excellence is part of us, but we are bigger than hair make or hairdo. Buy what you need for your comfort, but we are bigger than what we have. A man's value is not in the multitude of his possession. Christ in me is the hope of glory. That's my consciousness. That is why I can stand before anybody. That is why I can stand anywhere. That is why I can do all things, because it is Christ in me that strengthens me. Do you know why we struggle? We have built our strength from the forces of the flesh. But you see, the Bible has concluded already. It said it's the spirit that quickens. It said the flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. That's why we struggle. We build our value system in the flesh. God dwells in me. I know. Paul said if we are risen with Christ, he said let our affections be on the things that are above, where Christ dwells. He said for our life is hid in Christ, and Christ in God. Our life is hid in Christ, and Christ is in God. And so I draw from God the Father. I draw from God the Son. I draw from God the Holy Ghost. That is why I am better than my peers. That is why I am ahead of my generation. When I read, I understand what the lecturer don't know. When I study, I understand what he doesn't know. When I enter a business meeting, I step into realms of strategy that is beyond the economic realm. I go to where the wisdom that formed the earth dwells. Because I am hid in Christ, and Christ is God. That is my consciousness. This is what substantiates my actions. I will never be the same. I touch your grace, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I touch your grace, my life has changed. Nation. I prophesy over you the capacity of Christ
that is prophesied in your spirit, it begins to manifest now. It doesn't matter who came first. The devil may come first. It doesn't matter, he will prevail. The devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the resurrection and the life has come. And God does not come late. Anytime he comes, it's the right time. Because he created time. And he lives from beyond time. There's a throne that regulates the universe. That is the throne of God. And we align with it. There are kings. There are kingdoms. There are mountains and there are thrones. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there is no end. There is a kingdom that is from everlasting to everlasting. That's the kingdom we are aligned to. That's why we rule and reign in life. Nobody here we experience defeat again. The first way to exercise the dominion of light is to know that God is in you and you function at the level of God. In 1 John 5:11 to 13, it said, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And he said, this life is in his Son. He said, whoever has the Son has life. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. You will know. I have the life of God. I have the faith of God. I have the mind of Christ. I have the power of God, which is the power of the Holy Ghost. I cannot be defeated. I think at God's frequency. I operate at God's frequency because this is my heritage. As a believer, I'm a joint heir with Christ. Consciousness. The second thing that makes for the dominion of light is sustenance of intensity. Listen, it's not enough to have a consciousness. You must keep the intensity. Because for light to shine, you must burn. In John 5:35, it says he was a burning and a shining light. Most of you carry light. You are not shining because you are not burning. You want to shine? You must burn. Intensity is what brings about the government of light. And that is why the devil will do anything to shut down your intensity. You know what shuts down your intensity? Distraction. Iniquity. Why do you give yourself to it? How can I be found in the place of gossip? It's not about the people you are talking about. It's about your intensity. How can I be found in the place of iniquity? I have to burn in order to shine. He said, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. They that bear the vessels of God. Because you carry God. They say you must be holy. You think forgiveness is enough? That's the level of babes. He said, I write unto you children. Because your sins have been forgiven you. It's only a babe who doesn't understand matters of government and governance that thinks he can sin and ask for forgiveness. And that's why the heir will remain a child. When you sin, you can be forgiven, but it has affected your intensity. You will discover you can't ascend anymore because you need certain levels of purity to ascend. Who shall stand upon the mountains of God? Who shall stand upon his holy hills? They that are of a pure heart, they that are of a clean hands, that have not lifted up their soul in vanity. This is where the power of light is domiciled. Fornication does not end after 10 minutes. It has an impact on you for a season. That's why it said, tell the youths to flee youthful lust that wages war against their soul. Your intelligence can be affected by iniquity. The devil knows it. This man possesses light. He knows it. I can't stop him. But there's something I can do to puncture his intensity. And when I puncture his intensity, he can descend. in the great house, there are many vessels. Some are unto honor, some are unto dishonor. It doesn't matter if they are made of gold or silver, wood or hay. He said, if a man purchases himself, he said, that man is qualified to witness for God in the order of light. This is why daily we find ourselves to flee. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he said, I keep you in remembrance. That was Paul talking to his son Timothy, that you found to flee the gift of God that was put in you by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. It is something you are mindful of. In Leviticus 6, 12 and 13, it said the fire on the altar must not be put out. The priest must put wood on it every morning. The fire on the altar must not be put out. It's your responsibility to keep the intensity. Because for you to shine, you must burn. It said John was a burning and a shining light. He was a burning and a shining light. And he said, the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. That's the city indeed. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Something is about to explode now. There are kingdoms, there are mountains, and there are thrones. By avoiding the operations of darkness, you maintain your intensity by building intimacy. This is why we pray. This is why we study. This is why we attend the fellowship. Because it will take intimacy for the fire to be intensified. It will take intimacy. So on one side, we consecrate from the world. On another side, we consecrate unto God. That's the code of intensity. The code of intensity is consecration from the world and consecration to the Lord. You don't know what you carry. Some of you, your generation is waiting for you. Some of you, nations are waiting for you. Because the quality of light you carry is needed for a generation. It's needed for a nation. It's needed for an era. But where are the flames? Where is the intensity? Born. Tell your friend, born. Tell yourself, born. 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 That's how you exercise the dominion of life. Certain things are imparted. Others are stewarded. Because they are tokens of maturity. Finally, how do you exercise the government of light? Is by taking action. No inactive person will walk in dominion. In James chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 25, the Bible showed us the portrait of two men. The one who takes action and the one who never takes action. James 1, 22 to 25. He said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. No matter what you know, if you don't take action, you are self-deceived. Number three, he said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In verse 24, it says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So there is no blessing for such a man. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue daring, him being not a forgetful hearer but a doer, he said, that man shall be blessed. You see why we don't dominate? Inaction, complacency, reluctance, procrastination, and so it robs us of our heritage. In James 2, 19, 20 and 26, he said, thou believest that there is only one God. He said, thou doest well. He said, but the devil also believes and trembles. He said, oh vain man, knoweth not thou that faith without works is dead? He said, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. If you want to burn and shine, you must take action as the spirit leads you, not out of human or fleshly zeal, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said, arise, shine. For you to shine, you must arise. If you don't take action, you will never shine. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? The Lord is already bringing a baptism of fire to many. And ushers, you will help me now. There are some of you that the Lord will come upon you tonight afresh. Because there is a season, there is a time. Tonight, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Faith is not tomorrow. Now faith is. There are things he wants to do now. And so I stretch hands over this audience. In the name of Jesus, everyone ordained for a fresh baptism from wherever you are standing, such as I have, I give to you now. Also, help me. I want to lay hands on them. Take that fire now. Take that fire now. Take that fire. Also, bring them here. The first 14 people I know for me. Mata Rapa Catonia. Malaro Tapakade. Asusa Rastabina. Paragado to the fire. The hand of the Lord is upon you. This is the day of your life. This is your right of all conquest. This is your season of emancipation. Victory over darkness. The realm over this campus. The gates are about to open. But you see, it takes an apostolic and a prophetic spirit to bring about territorial change and territorial emancipation. There is a grace that will rest upon some of you now. It's an apostolic grace. Wisdom from yonder. Power from the heavens. Faith that can change things regardless of whatever. Father, wherever they are standing, those on ground, those watching online, the same ancient spirit that sculpted the order of the apostolic, in the name of Jesus, all numbered for that era, all numbered for that season, all numbered for that assignment, right now, from the front to the back, from the left to the right, to those watching online, carry that fire now. Usher, set them. Usher, set them. Solo manana maye. Ame sulebe.
of wisdom.
Instructions. They are doorways to realms and dimensions. We are out of time. Thank you, Father. Those of you who are able to stand, the Lord bless and keep you and cause this flame to abide with you forever. In the name of Jesus. Those of them under the power, leave them. Those of you who are standing, step back. The last thing that makes for the dominion of light is a rigid alignment with the government of God. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. They that fear the presence of God must be holy. They must be clean. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. They that fear the presence of God must be holy. You see, there's a strange dimension of the prophetic anointing that is descending here. Men that cry over cities and their doors open. Men that see from the heights of the heaven, and when they proclaim, they bring government over territories. Men like Jonah, that their utterances can convince even kings on their throne. A new day is upon you. A new season is upon you. A new era is upon you. Arise, stand. For your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Baruch Hadakah. I don't know why. I want to round up, but the Lord is telling me now that there's a warrior spirit about to master some of you. Warriors, warriors. Keepers of the flame. Contenders for faith. Yes, but hear me. Some of you, for the next 14 days, you'll be having encounters. Because the meeting does not end after the conference. It continues in the spirit. Angels have come into your campus. Some of them will not leave for a while. Things will happen by the spirit. And men will keep gaining ascensions to heaven in order to bring government, legislation, and litigation from the courts of God. to the territorial jurisdiction of this territory, of this campus.
There are mountains and there are thrones. Only near you will rest forever. Who is king now? Who is noted? There are kings. There are kingdoms. There are mountains and there are thrones. But
there have been altar calls in the course of this meeting, and some of you took it for granted. But hear this, a new order of spiritual operation is about to begin in your campus. You cannot afford not to be on the Lord's side. Please, those of you who are touched, those who can go back, let them go back. I want to make an altar call now of men who want to submit completely to the government of the Christ. I told you light is a person. If you receive him, you will know. Don't force them to stand. Leave them. Those who can't stand, leave them. Let God walk with them. Or bring them to the altar here. Put them on the altar. Help those of them who have been taught. Bring them to the altar. I don't want any of you to miss out on the move of God. Your will has been overtaken. Your mind has been overtaken. You are living in safety, or you are not sure that you have received Jesus and is your Lord. God is already picking some for himself. That's what you are seeing here. But you may not come under the anointing. But you may make a decision for Jesus tonight. Wherever you are standing, please let me pass. Move them to the altar. Move them to the altar, please. Jesus is not your Lord and Savior. There are two confessions. Savior is different from Lordship. You are living your life for yourself, for pleasure and your own, that you don't miss out on what God is doing in your generation. In the next 1 minute, wherever you are standing, you want to make a commitment to Jesus, to both receive him as Savior and to submit to him as Lord. Run to the front. This is your time.
Pray forever.
Wherever you are, this is your time.
are suffering from addictions, pornography, masturbation, all forms of sexual perversions and immorality, this is your night. Ask God now to break that spell, and it will break this very moment. By the message of God, I have the grace to terminate such operation. Wherever you are standing, some of them are already under the power. Wherever you are standing under the yoke of addiction, I decree and declare, in the name of Jesus the Lord, they break now.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.